Psalm chapter 37 is where we're going to be tonight. And, you know, so much in life is about waiting. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like there is an awful lot of waiting involved in life. Red lights, stop signs, doctor's offices, hold buttons, elevators, music on hold. There's an interesting concept, music on hold. And then every now and then you get that one song you enjoy and they don't leave on hold long enough. But mostly it seems like life is a lot about waiting. This time of the year, a lot of folks are waiting for their tax refunds. Seems to take forever to get in, especially when you need it to pay the other tax that you've got to pay. Wait for the income from the federal to come in so you can pay the state. I know people who are waiting for the kids to grow up and get out of the house. One parent told me one time, your kids never leave, they just go on short vacations. Andre's not here, but you can go ahead and say amen. You know, there's just a lot in life that involves waiting. Sunday, as Brother Buddy was ministering, I was really drawn to some of the things that he was saying. I was drawn to chapter 37 of Psalms. And I kept hearing in my spirit, you know, Psalm 37 read. And so I did. And this week as I was reading, I want you to look with me at one specific verse. We're going to focus on the first 9 verses, but I want you to look at verse number 7. It says, rest in the Lord. Boy, I tell you, I've done some resting in the last couple of weeks. It seems like with the illness that's tried to come on my body, I've slowed down more than I have in a long time. Matter of fact, Friday, I came home from a conference in Baton Rouge that I was at. I had 2 counseling sessions on Friday afternoon set up, and I was feeling so poorly that I called both of them. I canceled them, and I went home, and I was in bed sometime between 3 and 4 o'clock on Friday. I got out of bed for about 1 hour on Saturday, and other than that 1 hour, I was in bed from 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock Saturday until 8 o'clock Sunday morning. It just seems to be that it takes that. But he says in verse number 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. And we'll get into some of these things in a minute. But what I wanted you to focus on was this phrase in the first part, which is rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I got to thinking about this because what caught my attention was that the word wait had to have is that an adverb? Something that modifies the verb? It's not an adjective because it's not a noun. It's an adverb. The word wait had an adverb that told us how we are to wait, which got me to thinking, are there times that I don't wait patiently? How do I wait? And as I got to thinking about that question of other ways that we can wait, and I looked through these verses here, I saw some things that to me kind of popped off the page. It showed me what happens when we don't wait patiently, when we wait, when we wait in other ways. Apparently, David didn't think that the word wait by itself was enough. He needed to describe to us how we were supposed to wait. Because, you know, we'll tell our children, wait. But that word wait needs to have oftentimes an adverb. And since he had to add this word patiently, I think that there are some different ways to wait. What I want to do is look at some of these Psalms and see if there are some viewpoints or ways that people wait on the Lord that are not as healthy. And then we'll come back to the healthy one. So pray for me and pray with me. Lord Jesus, tonight as we study your word, help us to see things that will benefit us in our growth and our maturity and our track of walking with you. Grow us, Lord, mature us, strengthen us, and Lord, even heal us as you speak your word to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me in verse number 1. He says, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. And down in verse number 8, as you continue down the page, he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret it leads only to evil doing. You'll notice this word fret is used twice. Fret is a word that we don't use very much. Our common equivalent to that is worry. You could say it this way, do not worry because of evildoers. And in verse number 8, you could say, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not worry. It only leads to evil doing. You see, there are some folks who wait because they've been told to wait on the Lord. But while they wait, they worry. You ever been there? You don't have to raise your hand at any time tonight, you know, if it kicks you in the eyeballs. But if it, you know, I'll raise my hand for us. You see, there some folks will be knowing that they're supposed to wait, but the whole time they're waiting, they're worried about it. And they're figuring it out and wrapping their brain around it and trying to, and you'll hear them say things like this. I know that I'm trusting in God and I am trusting in God and I'm going to wait on Him, but I just don't know what that doctor's going to say. I just don't know what the diagnosis is going to be. Or I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord for His provision, but I sure hope my company doesn't go under so that I lose my job. I'm waiting on the Lord, but I sure hope this, or I'm waiting on the Lord, but. The problem with waiting and worrying is that it doesn't accomplish anything. It does absolutely nothing for us. Go to Matthew 6. Keep your place here because we're going to be here all night. But Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is trying to teach us a lesson. And he's keying in on something that we all have a problem with, and that is this issue of worry. And he says, I'm going to just break into the middle of something that he's teaching on. I want you to look just at verse number 27. New American Standard says, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? If you have another translation or if you're used to the King James, you may have heard it say, who of you by being worried can add a single cubit to your height? When I was younger, I really wanted to be taller. In fact, I've always, it's been important to me to be taller. I list my height at 5 feet, 10 inches and a half. Half is important to me because it's closer to 5'11" than it is to 5'10". I wanted my grandfather Green was a tall man. I had hoped to have that 6 foot stature. I wanted to be tall. But for all my worry, and I can't do a thing about making my height any taller. I can buy platform shoes, but it doesn't make me taller. And this translation has it: Who of you? By being worried can add a single hour to your life. In fact, most of us realize that if we worry, we're going to take away hours from our life. So the question comes, how do I wait? Do I wait worrying? Is my focus on worrying? Jesus says, you can't. And he goes on and teaches, here's the cure to it is, what is it? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. God knows what you need. You're worrying about it's not going to accomplish anything. So that's the point as we get back in Psalms 37. That worrying about it's not going to achieve anything. So he says, don't fret. Don't worry. Don't wait that way. How did he tell us to wait? Patiently. Wait patiently on the Lord. So worry is not going to help. That's what, in fact, if you go back to 37, verse number 8, that's really what it's telling you. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. See, worrying, the only thing worrying can help add to you is problems. The only thing that worrying is going to bring is problems. So this is his encouragement to us. We know we've been called to wait on the Lord. We need to wait patiently, but we need to make sure that we're not waiting, worrying as we wait. There are people that while they wait, their mind goes to worrying. And so here's the key. If as I wait, my focus is on me, I'm going to worry. I'm going to give you, for every one of these wrong ways of waiting, I'm going to give you some place where your focus is. And I'm convinced that if my focus is on me, I'm going to worry. Now look back at verse number 1. I'm going to show you another way that people wait. The second half of verse 1, he says, well, I'll read the whole thing. Do not fret because of evildoers, be not envious toward wrongdoers. You see, there are those who wait and they become envious of others while they wait. They see others. They see someone else getting blessed. They see someone else who doesn't have to wait as long. They see someone else who seems to be blessed more than they are. And so they begin to become envious. And in their waiting, they're not waiting patiently, but they're waiting in an envious manner. You know, it is so easy to become envious of others. That's why the Scripture is so full of warnings about it. We're told that envy and strife are brothers that come into our life. They're twins that come into our lives to try to bring disharmony and break up our peace that God has given to us. But the thing is that in this world, envy jumps on us because we let me give you a perfect scenario. Let's say that you have a doctor's appointment. I guess I'm thinking about that because I've had a couple of them lately. And you know what time your appointment is, and you know what you're going to do when you get there. I've gotten to the point where I'll bring a book or I've gotten to the point I just know ahead of time. Bring a book, bring a newspaper. Sitting there, you go check in, you show them your information, what you need to do, and you go sit down. Somebody else comes in after you. They check in. They go sit down. And you're sitting there waiting, and everything's fine until they get called before you. That happened to me. Well, that ain't right. How come I get called before me? I got here before they did. What's the deal? Now, I mean, it could have been anything. It could have been that their appointment was before mine. They just stepped outside of the car and got some. It could have been that they're there to see somebody else. But it just doesn't seem right. And so as they go back through those wonderful doors that lead you into that place of getting your answer for your need at that time, it seems like, your heart begins to get filled with envy. It happens in business. It happens in you're working hard. And somebody else who doesn't seem to be doing as hard as you're doing. And they get promotions or they get advancements or they get blessings. And you're like, why is this? And especially because he talks here, the very first verse, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers. It seems like a lot of times the guys who are cutting the corners are the ones who are. Now, I'm going to talk to business folks here. You know what I'm talking about? You look at somebody and he's not following the rules. He's not carrying the workman's comp. He's not got the insurance. He's not got the licensing. He's brother-in-law in the deals. He's under the table cash. Whatever it is. And he seems to be just blowing and going. And you're going, I'm trying to do things right. When somebody else gets a blessing, how do we respond? I was thinking about this parable. I was talking with someone today. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus told a parable about a guy who agreed to do something for a price. Set price, had a good contract, everything was agreed upon. He did his work, and at some point during that day, the guy who had the signed the contract realized he needed some more people to complete the work, so he signed another contract with somebody else for a shorter amount of time just to help complete the work. And he told them, I'll make it right by you. I'll pay you what's right. And towards the end of the day, he realized he needed just a couple more hands to help him really finish the work out. So he goes out and he hires the guy, and they only work a couple of hours. And at the end of the day, when it comes time to get paid, the guy who only worked a couple of hours walks up to the boss to get his check. And they, of course, they were paid cash back then. And he gets paid the same amount that the guy who signed the contract knew that he was going to get paid. And the guy who signed the contract at the end of the line, he's looking at there and goes, wow. He only worked 2 hours and he got paid what I'm getting paid. That must mean I'm getting a bonus. That must mean I'm going to get some extra. That must mean, you know, his mind starts. He sees the guy who worked 4 hours and he got the same amount. Oh, yeah. And then he gets up there to the front of the line and the boss gives him the agreed upon amount. Same thing to everybody else. And what does his attitude become? Bitter and angry. What is this? You insult me. What do you mean he's slapping me in the face like that? The boss is like, wait a minute. Didn't we agree? Isn't this what we agreed upon? Isn't this what was in the contract? Yeah, but look at what happened to these other guys. And the boss is like, wait a minute. Our agreement was this. And Jesus was trying to teach an example. I love the story at the end of John. Peter. The Lord gives him his instructions. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to take place in your life. you're gonna have some tough times, Peter. In fact, there's gonna be some times that when you're old, they're gonna tie your hands. And they're gonna take you where you don't want to go. The Bible says he told him this to signify what kind of death he was gonna have. And so Peter asked the classic question, Lord, what about Fulano? What about John? And Jesus' line was, if I want him to stay until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. Don't be envious of this other guy. You and me have this relationship going on. And so this issue of envy happens. The first issue of worry happens when I focus on me. The issue of envy happens when I focus on others. Do you see that? When my focus begins to see other people and their blessings, even if they're evil people, and I begin to look at how they're doing well, and I begin to look at them, my focus is on someone else, then I will envy. And so we're told to wait. But if as I wait, I focus on me, I'm going to worry. If as I wait, I focus on others, I'm going to envy. There's another one, though, that I see that happens to people. If you drop down to verse number 8, we've already read part of this, but look at the first half. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Some people, when they wait, become angry because it takes a long time. You know, we have some banquets here at the church from time to time, and a lot of times when we have those, we know that they're not professionally catered, and we know that they're not, outside service. It's folks in the church who are doing it. And I was thinking about the Song of Solomon's. And sometimes it seems like, it takes a long time to get your service. We understand that. And because we understand it, and because we love the people who are doing it, it's not a big deal. We'll pick fun at the little ladies who are taking the drink orders you brought them salad before me, but it's all in good fun. You're really poking fun. You're not angry. You're not upset. It's just, you understand. But then I go out to a restaurant, and I place my order, and it just doesn't show up, and it doesn't show up, and it doesn't show up. And I've been known to get upset. My wife just gave me that look that said, I know what you're talking about. I've seen you do that. That knowing look. And get angry. Because it's taken so long. And it seems like it happens in life that sometimes when the wait becomes unbearable beyond what we think is reasonable, we can become angry. There are some folks who actually can become angry with God because it seems like it's been so long. So long. Where's the focus here? Well, if the focus is on the wait, I become angry. If I focus on me, I worry. If I focus on others, I become envious. If I focus on the wait, the amount of time that's gone by, I get angry. One more I want you to look at in verse number 9. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Now this word, wait, my wife has recently purchased a Bible that she has gotten a lot out of, the Amplified Bible. And I find myself, especially since she's gotten it, I have it on my Bible, on my phone, I have it on my computer, and I find myself more and more going to it. And this is what it says. Those who wait and hope and look for the Lord. Those who wait and hope and look for the Lord. The NIV simply says hope in the Lord. And I was thinking about this issue of hope. And I was thinking about those who wait and not just focus on the time, but they, after a period of time, it seems like the answer is not what they expected. The outcome has not been what they wanted. Because of how long they've been waiting, or because of how serious the problem is, or because of the answer has not been what they want, they give up hope. I've met with people who've had been in that point of giving up hope. There have been times I've wanted to give up hope. You see, hope is that thing that can pull us through or drive us through the most difficult of circumstances. I mentioned that scripture to y'all last week, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the future I have for you. I know the plans I have for you, for your welfare and not for your calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God used that scripture to speak to Lori at one point in her life when she was going through a difficult time, and he told her that he had something for her. He had something for her to look forward to. He had a hope that she could hang on to. It could pull her through a difficult time, and God gave us a hope. That name came out of Jeremiah 29:11, right, Lori? That's where her name came from for us. And there have been times in your life that you know that if you had not had something to hope in, whether it was the Lord or whether in the natural there was something that could pull you through, whatever, you would have given up. Hope is that thing that the Bible in the New Testament calls it an anchor of our soul, that we have a hope, Jesus Christ, who is the anchor of our soul. And this is that which can pull us through, the anchor that in the midst of that storm that holds us tight, that holds us steady. I cannot think of anything more sad, maybe, than someone who has lost hope. You may have had coworkers. Jim and I have talked about situations in the corporate world where people have just finally gotten to the point where they've given up hope. If you ever read the Dilbert comic strip, I think Jim thinks he lives in that comic strip sometimes. But if you've ever read the Dilbert comic strip, you've seen some people that have just, they're going through the motions. There's no life. There's no meaning. There's no reason. There's no purpose. Show up, get a paycheck, crunch the clock, go home. I don't know if that's the right order or not. But I believe that the Lord is encouraging us here that we need to wait with hope. You see, if I focus on the lack of an outcome, I'll lose hope. If I focus on me, I'm going to worry. If I focus on others, I'm going to become envious. If I focus on the wait and how long it's taken, I'll become angry. And if I focus on the unexpected outcome or no outcome, I'll lose hope. But right in the middle of all these other ways of waiting, he tells us something beautiful in verse number 3. Look with me, verse 3-5. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. So how are we to wait? Well, He says to us in verse 7 that we're to wait patiently, but I believe that there's a fuller... What does patiently look like? What does waiting patiently look like? Verses 3 through 5 shows us what waiting patiently looks like. Let me read it to you one more time. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. You know, we have a tendency to put everything else on hold except for our minds, because our minds will run. And our mind is our enemy in those kinds of situations. We will think about ourselves. We'll think about others. We'll think about the weight. We'll think about the outcomes. And the question becomes, what are we focusing on? What am I focusing on? What is my focus in this issue of waiting? Am I focused on me? If I'm focused on me, what am I going to do? I'm going to worry. If I'm focused on others, I'm going to become envious. If I'm focused on the weight, I'll become angry. If I focus on the outcome, I'll lose hope. But if I focus on what the Lord has caused me to focus on, I'll wait patiently. Here's what I think is the key. That when we're waiting in one area of our lives, the Lord has called us to get busy cultivating faithfulness. He's called us to get busy delighting ourselves in Him. He's called us to get busy doing good in Him, trusting in Him. Instead of just sitting there following His commandments, instead of just sitting there enjoying what He's given us, delighting ourselves in Him, finding our desires being molded and changed and shaped and fashioned by Him. And so instead of focusing on me or somebody else or the weight or the outcome, as I focus on Him and what He's called me to do, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness, delight myself in Him. And these, as I begin to do these things that He's called me to do and given me to do, I begin to find that that patient waiting, it almost blossoms in my life. Sometimes the things that we, it's going to probably sound a little strange. Sometimes if we try to do the thing and we focus on trying to do the thing, we don't do the thing. But if we'll focus on delighting ourselves in Him, enjoying His faithfulness, His fellowship, then the thing happens. Someone told me this week they were going through a difficult time. Their mind was filled with different thoughts. There was a quietness that came into their life, and then somehow, without understanding how it happened, peace came in. I was thinking about my grandmother, who for most of her life had a fear of death. And then a month and a half before she died, she's sitting on her couch in a moment of quietness. No explanation, no sermon, no thus saith the Lord, no nothing explainable, but in a time of feeding on God's faithfulness and enjoying herself in the Lord, delighting herself in the Lord, peace came. You see, that's why I believe that Paul calls it a peace that surpasses understanding. Because we can't explain it. I can't explain that. I can't give you the formula for it. I can tell you that A squared plus B squared equals C squared. There is a formula for the hypotenuse of a right-angled triangle. There is a formula for gravity. There is a formula for light that tells you how fast light travels. There's a formula that tells you this everything except for peace. There is no formula for peace. It almost sneaks up on you sometimes. It almost catches you unaware. It's amazing how that happens. Would you look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1, keeping our finger in Psalm 37. As we begin to focus on Him, delight in Him, trust in Him, feed on Him, commit to Him, it happens. The patient waiting happens. And you look back and you realize that you waited patiently without knowing it. Instead of sitting there going, okay, I'm going to wait patiently. I'm waiting patiently. Is this patient enough, God? I'm waiting patiently. Okay, God, has this been long enough? I'm waiting patiently. What is it that they say a watched pot never boils? I'm waiting patiently. No, he says, stop focusing on that. Change your focus. Get your focus off you. Get your focus off them. Get your focus off the time. Get your focus off the outcome. Put your focus on me. I had to ask Brother Buddy where the scripture was because I was all around it in my mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 12. Paul says, for this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know. Now, where was his focus? You'll see it. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul had dwelled in the Lord's faithfulness. He had feasted at the Lord's table. He had enjoyed his companionship and had gotten to the point, I believe this is what faithful waiting looks like. I know, I'm convinced that he is going to keep it for that day, what I've entrusted to him. Brother Buddy read to us this Sunday and taught us at Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. What do we sing? That song sometimes from 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you. See, God is able. Let's go back to Psalms 37. If all I do is sit and wait, I'm going to get myself in trouble. An old saying I was taught as a young boy is true. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm going to get in trouble. If I focus on me, I worry. What's going to become of me? If I focus on you, well, that ain't right. He got him. I want what he's got. If I focus on how long it's been, I'll get angry. If I focus on the outcome, I'll lose heart. But if I focus on the Lord, His patient waiting will work itself out in my life. And I didn't even do it. I want to read this whole passage together. We've read verses all around, but I want to read 1 through 11. Let's just ease our way through these verses. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. They will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Don't fret because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from angry. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. Evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. You will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. So how are you waiting? How am I waiting? It's a good question to ask. Am I focused on me? Am I focused on you or someone else? Am I focused on the time frame? Am I focused on the outcome? All those things are going to bring these wrong types of waiting and all wrong types of fruit. But if I'm focused on Him, He will bring the patient waiting to pass. He will do it. He will do it. Father, thank you for this psalm. Lord, I believe that you've got some things to tell us. And I believe specifically from this psalm, you've got some instruction for us. I pray that in just the little thing that was shared tonight, that you will have encouraged our heart. And I pray, Father, that you'll take us beyond that to walking in this patient waiting, that we'll find ourselves mounting on eagle's wings, that we'll find ourselves running and not growing weary, walking and not growing faint. Lord, as that song says, teach us to wait. Thank you, Father, that you work this in us. As we trust in you, as we dwell in you and delight in you, in Jesus' name, amen.